Weathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather towards the weekend sunny this afternoon with a high of 82, clear and 52 tonight. Saturday, sunny, 85, clear on Saturday night down to 54. Breezy on Sunday, sunny and 84. At our extended outlook, staying in the mid to upper 80s for the next week. And really, as far as the forecasters are going out, we're into the upper 80s late next week and maybe into the 90s for several days a week after that. Up to 68 degrees now. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for listening. Another conversation live from Salem today. About 35 and a half hours left before the Oregon State Legislature has to officially be adjourned by midnight on Sunday. And State Representative Virgil Osborne on with us right now, taking a break from House floor session to update folks on what's going on. How have the last few days been for you?
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me on. Yeah, the last few days have been, exciting. Probably the right word to use for them. It's been interesting, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm loving it, but not the outcome of some of the bills that are going through are not really what we wanted. But we're almost done. So another couple days, and we'll be moving on out.
Well, before we go into the kind of the things you're not happy about, talk about the things that have gone well in the past week.
So there has been a lot of good that has come out of where we are right now. And really, the good kind of revolves around the budget bills. So, you know, the state was in danger of basically, I wouldn't say we'd shut down because we have a continuing resolution in place. So we would have continued on until September. But we did bring back, the Senate came back to work, and that brought through the budget bills that have to be approved through the House, and we approved pretty much every budget bill that came through. And in some cases, I mean, those are really good bills because they do a lot of things, you know, like the budget for schools and, you know, budget for, healthcare budgets, those type of things. So there has been some good, and I'm glad that that got through. There's been a few bills that are old climate based that I think were good for the state, but in general, it hasn't been all bad.
Since the Republican senators returned, talk about the things that have gone through that you have not been happy about.
Well, as you know, when the Republicans came back to work, that the deal that was made modified House Bill 2002, which was the abortion transgender rights bill, and also modified the 2005 bill, which was the gun bill. And although both those bills were modified to be better, particularly the gun bill was pretty much gutted, although it still had some stuff in it that was unconstitutional. Both those bills came to the House floor. I chose not to be on the House floor when those bills came up to vote. I've already voted on both those bills one time. I voted no. I spent 10 hours on the floor on each of those bills arguing why they were bad ideas. And in this particular instance, when they came back to us, we didn't have a choice. We had to vote whether I was there or not. We did not deny quorum. So about 12, I think, of the Republican House representatives walked off the floor on those votes. So those are probably the two ugliest bills that I've seen come through.
Was the Senate GOP action a good move based on where things stand now?
You know, it depends on who you ask as to how people feel about it. So here's my opinion on it. I think had they not walked out, then we would have ended up with those two bills the way they were originally written with no amendments, which would have been really horrible. It did some things to parental rights I can't even tell you how bad it was. It did some things to your gun rights that were just completely unconstitutional. And so when the Senate walked out, you know, then it became a game of kind of wait and see. And the Senate Democrats, the president decided he was going to stick to his guns, and he basically eliminated them from being able to run again in their next election if Measure 113 holds up. But at a point, the Republicans somewhat took control because these budget bills had to get through. So that's when the Senate Democrats decided they wanted to go back and negotiate. So probably the best thing that could have happened was they could have went ahead and stayed out, and we would have been in special session, and we probably would have been working on just budget bills and not necessarily voting on a couple of unconstitutional bills. But the fact is they did come back. So they came back. Things are better. They're not great, but they're certainly better than they were when they left. So the negotiation part of it did work. And those two bills now are headed to the governor's desk for signatures.
What about the potential, if the challenge isn't held up, to lose a number of GOP members at the end of their current term? How might that impact the party? It's going to open up some Senate seats. Probably some House members are going to want to move that direction. And at the same time, when you're been working to gain seats but not making a lot of progress in that effort.
Yeah, and that's certainly something in caucus that we always discuss is that, you know, our strategic plan for the next election and how we pick up seats. And really, we can't change much up here unless we do pick up seats because we're still in the minority. Now, we have been not in the super minority this session because we did pick up seats in 2022. There remains to be, the question remains whether or not 113 will hold up as constitutionally accurate, and it is going to be challenged by the Senate. There are a number of lawsuits in the works, and if they do challenge it and they're able to hold to come back for their elections, then the ones that wanted to come back will probably be able to hold their seats. There was a fair amount of senators that were planning on retiring anyway, so those seats will likely end up being filled by House Representative representatives that want to move up, and or it'll be an appointment situation if they do, and it's not during election year. So I really think we'll start to see that all shape up toward the end of summer as to who's going to be running for what. And then, of course, into the middle of next year when the campaigns really heat up, I think you'll really start to get a picture of how that's going to look. I hope we don't lose seats on this. We really need to hold the 25 that we have in the House now. And if we could pick up six more, that would be fantastic.
The Oregon Republican Party has seen a lot of ups and downs, a lot of leaders come and go in recent years, and always seems to be a bit fractured on certain levels. Does this move by the Republican senators, does it have any impact on the state party structure? Are you hearing from any of those folks about this move?
Yeah, I'm hearing from the ORP that they're not happy with a lot of things. It depends. Every day it seems like the stories kind of change and people are, if you focus on the loss, then nobody's happy. But if you focus on the changes to the bad bills, and it wasn't just 2002 and 2005, there were about a dozen bills that were super partisan. And a lot of people don't realize that there were about five gun bills, and the Senate Democrats just went ahead and decided to go ahead and kill. And then there was also a bill that would have, there were some constitutional changes as to LGBTQ stuff and that type of thing. And that was all tabled for, I'm sure we'll see it again in probably 25 or, yeah, 25. But, it's just one of those things where I don't think anybody can really grasp what's happening right now because it won't be a big deal until the elections come around. And that's when people really start talking about it. So we'll see. Hopefully the party isn't fractured too bad and we can recover from it. But honestly, when they redistrict in 2022, it really changed the landscape of being able to be elected. I think Senator Canope went from being in a plus four Republican district to a plus 11 Democrat district now because of the redistricting. So there's just so many questions that are going to be unanswered until we get to that point where we really start getting in the trenches and battling it out.
I know I read something this morning that came out of the Senate Republican office, pointed to a number of media articles around the state, and felt like the move to deny quorum was a success and felt like that was the reaction they were seeing from some of the media reports.
Yeah, I mean, there was success in the denial of quorum. Absolutely there was, because things changed. I mean, the Bills, they didn't deny quorum. The intention of the denying quorum was to amend the bad bills, and to, really at the bottom line, at the end of the day, the Republican senators wanted parental rights back. And 2002 allowed a 12-year-old girl to have an abortion with no acknowledgement of the parent. They wouldn't have had to tell the parent. The doctor couldn't tell the parent. Nothing could happen in that direction. So those are some of the things they walked out for, and they got those rights back in the bill. Now, the bill still stands with some other modifications, but I have to call the walkout a success. Could it have been more successful and completely killed the bills? Yes. They could have stayed gone until the end of session or until the last day or so of session, and that would have been more successful at killing all the bad bills, would have killed a lot of bills. The problem is the governor can call a special session, and she had already there was already talk of the special session starting Monday, and it would have been probably a 3 or 4 day session, and they would have brought back whatever bills they wanted to bring back. So obviously the budget bills would have been first in line, but beyond that, we would be here for 3 or 4 days, and those bills that we hate would have came back. So, and it would have came back without any amendments. So actually the walking out was successful. It's just the landscape looks different than it did.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at Inside Douglas County, on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. A reminder, I will be out at the Summer Arts Festival live for Umpqua Valley Live this afternoon at 4. We'll talk to a number of the artists and folks involved in putting on this 3-day giant event in Roseburg's Fir Grove Park. So Umpqua Valley Live from the Summer Arts Festival 3 hours from now. Keep your radio on for that. Back in Salem, stepping off the floor of the House to talk with us, State Representative Virgil Osborne. And with a couple of days left, let's get an update on some of the legislation you've talked about throughout the session, things that you proposed or were particularly advocating for, and what their status is.
Yeah, absolutely. Good timing on that. So today, just before I came up here to speak with you, Kyle, we were able to pass House Bill 3148, which was the search and rescue bill that our sheriff's department, as well as all the sheriff's departments in the state, really, really needed for. It kind of changes the ability for an officer to get a subpoena for subpoenaing an individual that could possibly help in a search. And basically, without going into all the details of it, what it does is it allows more tools in our bag to be able to go out and look for somebody with a lot more information a lot sooner. So, you know, a lot of times when you're searching for somebody, that first 24 hours is crucial, and the law really didn't allow you to do much. So now things like getting cell phone records can be done much easier with a subpoena, and that passed the House floor. It went over to the Senate. The Senate amended it, and the rules are actually judicial, and came back to the Senate floor. It passed the Senate floor, and we just concurred it literally about an hour ago. So it'll go to the governor's desk for a signature today or whenever it hits her desk. So that is the biggest win I have for me personally of the bills that I put in. My cat tax bill lived a long and healthy life until it died. So the cat tax bill was kind of a mirror of a couple of other bills that were running through the Senate. And they just all somehow just kind of died in ways and means and revenue. So we'll revisit that next session, short session, see if we can get some cat tax relief for our small businesses. Most of the other bills that I had in the works have kind of died in committee, as a lot of bills have. And some of that was due to the fact that we're now up against the sine die period. So the committees have ended, other than ways and means and revenue are still punching out a few things. But most of that has gone away.
What about the level of tension in the building? I'm curious if it's different in the House than it is in the Senate.
You know, I haven't sat in on many of the Senate floor sessions. I don't know the level of tension over there, but I do know on the House floor, particularly yesterday, we had some pretty controversial bills that we voted on. One of them was a tax increase that the Democrats were able to push through. The tension on the floor was significant over here. There hasn't been much bipartisan agreement on anything since about the fourth or fifth week in session. And although, you know, when we walk off the floor, we can all shake hands and, you know, say goodnight or whatever. But, you know, it's definitely everybody knows which side they're on at this point. So it's a little difficult.
What remains in the next day and a half there in Salem to get done?
Well, this morning we went through Senate concurrences. I think we probably saw at least close to 20 of them. And since the Senate came back to work, they're, of course, passing their bills and they're sending them over to us. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next day or so. And there's still some discussion now as to whether or not we're going to finish tomorrow or finish on Sunday. I probably won't know the answer to that until sometime around 6 o'clock tonight when we finish for the day. We'll know where we are and what's coming our way. These times, you know, during the end of session, we come in, we're usually in the office by 8 o'clock, and we finish when we finish. And floor sessions have been ending around 6 o'clock. Yesterday we probably did 50 bills, but there's still a few hundred left. So it's hard to say where that's all going to end at this point.
Given the workflow and the fact that the House remained in session throughout the entire time of the session, is there a potential, and I'm not sure how this works, is there a potential for the House to adjourn ahead of the Senate, or does that have to be done jointly?
No, I think that's a joint thing. Sine die is sine die. When it's over, it's over. I believe the Senate will probably finish early anyway. I don't know how many bills they have left on their schedule. They were working last night. When we finished, they kept working for about an hour longer. So they've got to be running out of stuff to do over there too, I hope.
So at this point, when you look back at things, I mean, your first session in, have there been points where you've looked around and thought, gosh, what did I get myself into?
You know, I don't know that I would describe it that way. I absolutely love what I'm doing up here, representing the people in our district. And I can pretty much say Douglas County, because the majority of my district, I think 99% of it is Douglas County. I don't mind. I can tell you that every day up here is a challenge. We fight battles. You know, there are a number of bills that we hear about that kind of come around and then we kind of avoid them. And I, you know, recently, just as an example, and hopefully it dies a quick death, is there the state's talking about studying the making prostitution legal. So, you know, it's a crazy place up here, and I see so many bills. I mean, there was a bill that was going to allow 3201, I think was the number, was going to allow camping anywhere on any federal, state, well, actually it would be state properties. So you could pitch a tent on the sidewalk in front of the courthouse or whatever, and that was okay. You know, somebody has to be the wall between crazy and sane, and I like to think of myself as being part of that wall, and I will do this until the people don't want me there anymore, and I will always stand up for the rights and of all of our citizens in Douglas County. So it's been different than what I thought it was going to be, but I'm loving what I'm doing.
What kinds of things have you learned when you watch, even relationally working with people, but just also about how the process works, things that you didn't know before?
That's a great question. So I can tell you, during a campaign, I had ideas of how I was going to come up here and how things were going to be, and I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that, just like everybody does. But early on, before I got here, I guess later in the campaign, I did spend a fair amount of weekdays and weekends with the caucus up here. And I started learning that what I thought was going to happen really wasn't the way things really worked. And fundamentally, when I got here, I found out that just about everything I thought was the way government worked in this house was not accurate. So since having been here now and been through a session, I now realize you know, there are relationships, there are loyalties, there are things and places that you go with your ideas that they either work or they don't. But and as much as I hate to say it, politics is give and take. So there are some times where deals are made to take the least worst of the two, you know. So I haven't participated in that myself because I just haven't had that experience yet, but I've seen it happen in front of me a few times and I don't like it. But it's a lot different than what I thought it was going to be.
Well, and so much has changed in Salem. You've got a different governor. You have different leadership in both the House and Senate. So really everything is changed in this session in terms of, you know, the overall direction and who's calling the shots.
Yeah, and you can see that. You can see the inexperience on the House floor. I mean, just during voting sometimes. I mean, there are a lot of folks here, and myself included. This is our first term. And, you know, we come to the floor with great expectations and the ideas of how things are going to be. But the reality of it is the majority party tends to run the show, and the minority party works our tails off to get into the majority. That's our job. We need to pick up seats so we can do things the way we feel it should be done. And that's kind of the message I'm going to leave the building with. It's like, whatever we can do to pick up seats, we need to do it.
What are your post-session plans?
So sometime, hopefully next week early, I am going to move my RV. I've been living in my RV, so I'm going to move that back into to my home. And I have an office above my shop at my house. And I'm going to move my office back and then start working in district. We already have several meetings planned. We'll do a lot of events. We'll do some town halls. I'll be sure to let you know when we do our first town hall. And I think a lot of folks really want to know how the end of session went. And I think I'd like to get out in public and explain to them kind of what we've done and give them an idea of where this last 6 months has gone for our county.
93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.